Okay, so you're starting a big creative project. Could be anything, right? An app, a film trailer. And you're immediately hit with two things. Just chaos, loads of ideas swirling around, and that scary blank page feeling.
Yeah, information overload. The
Yeah,
clock's ticking.
exactly. So how do you actually get a grip on all that? How do you set a clear path before you spend any real money on production?
Well, that's the make or break point, isn't it? And it's
Yeah.
why the pros lean heavily on these two pre-production documents. They might seem simple, but they're strategically vital, the mind map and the mood board.
Right. And that's our mission for this deep dive. We want to give you that strategic shortcut. We're digging into the kind of materials actual industry folks use.
The goal is to really define both the logic and the feel of a project right up front.
So you can master the planning, the logistics, but also nail that emotional connection.
Yeah, think of them less like casual brainstorms and more like the foundational blueprints. They set the structure, they set the emotional tone.
And they get everyone on the same page, team, client, everyone.
Absolutely. It's about guiding the team and, crucially, getting that client buy-in from the get-go,
Yeah.
making sure everyone's expectations are aligned. It's about building on solid ground.
Okay, let's tackle the mind map first. That sounds like the more logical left brain tool, like pure structure.
You could say that, yeah. It's about architecture.
But if I just have a to-do list, why bother with a whole map? Seems like extra work.
Ah, but a list is flat. It doesn't show you how things connect or depend on each other. A mind map, fundamentally, is about managing risk.
Risk, how so?
It forces you to see the relationships. It makes sure you don't miss a critical step because you see how everything links together. It generates ideas around that main theme, sure, but its real power is showing hierarchy.
Okay, so talk me through the structure, the anatomy, as it were. You start with the big idea.
Right in the center. That's your main theme, the project mission, the central node.
Core mandate, got it.
Exactly. And then radiating out from that, your key components, your main ideas, those go into other nodes.
Okay, nodes, and then you connect them.
Yes, and this is the crucial part. The branches, they aren't just lines on a page. They're explicit visual links showing how different parts of the project relate, how processes flow. That's the organizational magic.
Explicit visual links. Why is that visual part so much better than, say, bullet points with sub-bullets?
Because it forces systematic thinking. It makes you see, okay, this content piece depends on that design element, which needs this asset. It turns a flat list into a hierarchy of action.
And if an idea needs more detail.
That's where subnodes come in. You branch off again and break things down further, explore different facets. It's brilliant for really digging into one complex area,
Yeah.
like mapping out your exact target audience or listing every single feature needed for the final product.
I see. So it's not just listing, it's about finding those critical dependencies, those pathways.
Precisely.
And the sources are clear, whether you draw it by hand or use software.
Doesn't matter how you make it.
The structure has to be crystal clear, easy to read, logical.
Absolutely. The structure is the value. And you really test that structure when you review it.
How does that review work?
You hold it up against the brief, the client scenario. Do the groupings make sense? Is every single branch actually relevant to that central goal?
Okay. And there's that funny example in the source material, right? The cake shop leaflet.
Yeah, it's a great illustration. Imagine mapping out a simple leaflet for a local bakery,
Okay.
and suddenly there's a node labeled DVD cover.
Chuckles. Right. Completely random. Doesn't belong there at all.
Exactly. That's scope creep or just irrelevant thinking. It shows a breakdown in the logical structure. It has nothing to do with the brief.
So to fix it.
You'd need nodes for, say, leaflet design options, ideas for text and fonts, maybe color palette suggestions, all directly related to the leaflet, broken down logically. The mind map nails the what and the how. It keeps the execution tight.
Okay, so if the mind map is the cold hard logic, the blueprint, then the mood board sounds like where the heart comes in, the feeling, moving from what and how to why should anyone care?
That's a perfect way to put it. It's a dynamic shift. Mood boards are also pre-production tools. They generate ideas, yes. But their number one job, the thing they must do, is create a specific feeling, a style. It's about defining the aesthetic promise of the product.
The aesthetic promise. I like that. And the building blocks are things like images, right? Photos, drawings.
Sketches, graphics, patterns, yeah.
Yeah.
But, and this is key, it's not just chucking random pictures on a board.
Yeah.
No, they have to be coherent. Mm-hmm. They need to work together, be meaningful, to create a consistent sense of inspiration.
Cohesion creates the vibe. Okay, what else?
You've got the color palette.
Yeah.
And again, we're not just listing color names. We're talking
right.
actual samples, maybe fabric swatches, digital color chips.
Things that trigger emotions.
Exactly. You tap into those associations. You know, blue often suggests trust, red excitement, or danger. The colors have to be chosen deliberately for the emotional response you want from the audience.
Makes sense. And fonts too, right? Typography, that carries a lot of weight.
Huge weight. Samples of font styles, sizes, how the text is spaced out, it sets a tone immediately, even before you read the words. Choosing the right font is as critical as choosing the right image.
Wow. Okay. And mood boards aren't just physical things anymore, like cork boards.
Oh no, they've evolved. Physical boards are still great. You can pin actual textures and materials on them. But digital is huge now.
Software tools?
Yeah, image editors, presentation software, even specialized mood board apps.
Yeah.
But it gets cooler. Think about sound mood boards.
Wait, sound? How does that work?
It's a sequence of sound effects, music clips, maybe even atmospheric sounds that gives you the feel of the product's soundscape.
Oh, and video mood boards too.
Yep, short video clips showing like the intended pace of editing, the style of shots, example audio snippets.
That's a game changer for things like ads or films, surely. You're setting the style for sight, sound, and rhythm.
Exactly. It broadens that whole aesthetic reference point way beyond just static visuals.
So you create these early on.
Right at the start, to generate the style ideas.
And then keep looking back at them.
Constantly, throughout the project. It's the touchstone that keeps the whole creative team aligned on that target feel. Think creative directors, graphic designers, photographers. They live by these.
And I bet this is huge for managing clients, getting them to sign off on the feel.
It's the moment of truth for the aesthetic. Absolutely. Yeah. It's so much easier and cheaper to show a client maybe two or three different mood boards.
Get them to pick one.
And lock in that style and emotion rather than building out a whole prototype only for them to say, this just doesn't feel right.
Avoids costly U-turns.
Yeah.
And like mind maps, they need reviewing. There was that high adventure example.
Yeah, for like a ropes course attraction or something.
What makes a mood board work in review?
Coherence, again. Do the photos all contribute to a consistent feeling? Does it show the right emotion? Maybe kids looking excited but also safe? Does it match the brief?
And where do they typically fall down?
Often it's aesthetic mismatch. Maybe the text color clashes horribly with the main photos, or the fonts feel old-fashioned, like using a serif font when the target audience expects something modern and clean, like a sans serif.
Right. Or just random stuff thrown in.
Irrelevant clip art, yeah. Or maybe there's no clear color palette defined at all, just a jumble. That lack of coherence signals a problem. It needs fixing to align with what the client actually asked for. Annotations help here, too, explaining why certain things were chosen.
Okay, so we've dug into the details of each one. Let's pull back now and really hammer home the core difference. What's the absolute key distinction between these two vital tools?
It really boils down to this. Mind maps are all about structure, links, breaking down the complexity. They answer the logistical questions. What are the parts? How do they connect? What are the steps to get this done?
The how-to. While mood boards are purely focused on style, inspiration, the aesthetic feeling, they answer the emotional question. What should this thing look like, sound like, feel like to the person experiencing it?
Yeah, you could almost think of the mind map as like the project's architect, laying down the functional blueprint, making sure all the structural bits are considered, managing the operational risk.
Okay, the architect and the mood board is.
Maybe the artistic director, setting the whole emotional tone, the atmosphere, managing the aesthetic risk, making sure the final thing actually resonates the way the client wants it to.
Architect versus artistic director. I like that. But they do share something important, right?
Oh, definitely. They're both used really early on in that crucial pre-production phase. They're both tools to take vague ideas and start making them concrete, actionable conceptualization tools.
And for you listening, getting good at both means you control the whole process end to end. The mind map ensures the project gets built correctly.
Flawlessly executed, logistically sound.
And the mood board ensures it connects emotionally, that it lands with impact. You get that command over both the logic and the feeling.
But, and we have to keep saying this, there's one golden rule overarching both.
Let me guess, the brief.
The brief. Always the brief. These tools are powerful, but only if they constantly refer back to and align perfectly with what the client actually needs and wants. A technically brilliant mind map solving the wrong problem is useless.
And a gorgeous mood board creating the wrong vibe is just as bad.
Exactly. Alignment is everything. Hashtag tag outro.
Okay, let's wrap this up then. Key takeaway. Mind maps use those nodes and branches. They're for mapping out structure, untangling complexity, making sure every operational piece is linked and accounted for. Logic.
And mood boards use carefully chosen, coherent images, colors, textures, sounds, typography, all to create a sensory reference point. They lock down the style, the feel, the emotional inspiration, feeling.
We've talked a lot about how vital that logical structure is for a mind map, how it needs to be clear and rigorous.
Absolutely critical for managing the process.
But the sources also mentioned something interesting about mood boards, that they shouldn't be too rigidly laid out, that they need a bit of breathing room.
Yeah, that's right. Trying to force a mood board into a strict grid, confining it too much, can actually stifle the very thing it's trying to capture, that sense of feeling and inspiration.
Huh. That's a really stark contrast to the mind map's need for clear hierarchy.
It is, isn't it? And maybe that contrast holds the final thought for you to take away.
Okay.
If a mood board benefits from a certain freedom, a lack of rigid structure, what does that tell you about the fundamental difference between defining a feeling versus defining a process? Is there a point where too much structure actually becomes the enemy of inspiration?
When does structure kill the vibe? Something to definitely think about.
Exactly. Keep that question in mind as you go off and plan your next creative venture.